Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
What if nobody came out? Like, what would you guys do? Right? You thought that was funny? Thank you for that pity laugh. I appreciate that. How you guys doing? It's night time, so you guys are all tired or what? Yeah? I feel like if we're supposed to be at church, we're supposed to be excited about something. If you were here Sunday, you're the Philistines over here. How y'all doing? Doing good over here? I'm gonna continue to make an effort to let you know that you are important. How the Israelites doing over here? Doing good? Yeah? Yeah? Well, thank God we're all chosen people now, so there's no difference between us. So don't mean to start a rival. If you have no idea who I am, again, my name is Shane. I'm one of the pastors here at Valley Bible Fellowship.
Yeah.
I like you guys too. Some more than others, but I like all of you. I do. It was kind of in my heart just backstage, and I'm praying before I come out, and it's quite an experience to let you guys know. Even as I'm leaving my house to come here, I'm telling my wife, like, please pray for me. I'm gonna get up here and share my heart with you guys and what God put on my heart, but I know that you guys have real things that you're going through. I know that all of us do, and I'm praying backstage even. I just felt like I wanted to tell you that I really do care about all of you guys. I do as a church, and I know that's more so a blanketed statement because I don't know all of you personally, but I know that a lot of people deal with depression, and a lot of people deal with this idea that nobody knows I exist or nobody cares about me. And can I tell you that if nobody else in the world does, I know God does, and I do. I care about you. And I know that we're not the only two people, but if you're watching online, hello, welcome. You know what I mean? We're gonna get into the word. I believe that God gave me a word. This is part two from my sermon on Sunday. So if you don't go to Sundays, you can check that out online and get the part one of this. But they gave me actually a few, they wanted me to promote a few of our things here. Give it a second go. Women's retreat, this is very important, right? It was during announcements, and not like the announcements are long enough, and some of you guys are just like, what did he say? Women's retreat, November 1st through the 3rd. Men, if you can, if you have to watch the kids, because this is so important for your women to go to this retreat. And if you're not married, it's important for you to go to this retreat, ladies. It's God's gonna move on that mountain. You're gonna come back changed, just like us men come back changed. Trunk or treat's another thing. Man, I would hate for a bunch of kids to show up here trying to trunk or treat for some candy and there'd be no cars in the parking lot. So that's all that I'll say about that. Okay, we good? You ready to get started? Plenty of time. So on Sundays, we're in this series called Why Not? The idea behind this is kind of, you know, it's pretty basic. Why not try something that you haven't tried before? The sermon from this last Sunday was, why not step up? Why not step up? Because you might just step into your calling if you step up to the opportunities or challenges that God presents you in life. See, I talked about on Sunday that there's a lot of people out there, and maybe that's not you, but there's a lot of people that struggle with this idea of what God's calling is for our lives. How many people in here can say that I struggle with, I don't know what God's calling in my life is. I'm afraid I'm gonna miss it. I'm afraid I'm gonna get to the end of my life and that I was never gonna be used by God and I'm just gonna be a waste of a life. And there's a lot of people that felt that way. I ran a poll on Facebook, and so we talked about David and Goliath, and that David, as we know the story of him and Goliath, he stepped up big time to the opportunity. But there were some certain things in his life that were momentous pinnacle points that led him to this point of stepping up, that gave him the ability, the confidence, the faith to be able to step up and slay this giant. And so on Sunday, we talked about, are you tested? We talked about, are you tested? Are you one that when a test comes by, when God, there's a challenge or an opportunity that's really testing you, are you one to step aside or are you one to step up? And we talked about that David was able to slay the giant because he was tested with the lion and the bear. And so tonight, we're going to continue this as part two in this ability, why not step up? The first one was, are you tested? The next thing I want to talk about is, are you available? Are you available? That's a good question. Let me pray before I say anything else that I shouldn't, and we'll get into it. Is that okay with you guys? God, I've been trying not to be so quick to speak, and I feel like the more I try not to, the worse I get at it. God, I just pray that for the next 30 minutes and beyond, that you would just move powerfully, God. We want to encounter you this evening. I pray every stress, every worry, all anxiety, every plan of the enemy to try to distract us tonight from receiving and encountering your spirit, God. We rebuke those demons and devils in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that you would just give us the strength to focus on you, to put you number one, and to be intentional about being here at church this evening, God. And we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have any of you ever tried to make plans with a group of people? Anybody? I've come across this experience quite a bit the last couple weeks. We started a young married's Bible study at our house with some friends, and we've made some new friends, and it's really, or God's letting it grow organically, and it's been amazing, and we're bonding, but now we're wanting to make all of these plans, right? And so there's a group text that is, it's my fault, I sent it out, I can't complain, I can't blame anybody else, I started it. But have you ever started a group text and immediately regretted being in the group text? I'm just kidding. I love this group text. But what happens is when you try to make a plan for a weekend, you got family A and family B can make it. Ah, but family C can't make it on the 3rd. Oh, bummer. Okay, let's start all over. What about the 12th? Family A can't make it on the 12th, right? But every other family can make it on the 12th. And then this goes on and on and on until you're like, how about January 2022, second weekend, is everybody available this weekend to be able to go on a date night? And people are looking at their calendars. I'm not too sure, but I don't have anything booked for that particular weekend yet. How many people can relate with this, whether it's family plans, friends plans? I called my grandma. My grandma's 80-something years old. They just moved into a home where they have a whole bunch of friends in there, right? And I called her, and I'm like, Grandma, I'm gonna come over and visit you and Grandpa and bring the kids over. When do you want to come over? Well, how about Monday? Let me check my calendar. Sorry, Monday, we're playing card games with the Johnsons. Okay, that's fine. What about Tuesday? We have a couple doctor's appointments. That's not gonna really work for us. We're gonna be pretty tired after those doctor's appointments. Okay, how about Wednesday? Well, actually, it's movie night here at the home, so we're gonna be, this went on for the whole week. I said, Grandma, when can you fit me in? You know when you're in your 80s and your calendar is completely booked, there is something going wrong in our society today. We're busy. We are so busy. I was reading statistics. It was so funny, right? This college, I believe it was Columbia University, they ran this statistic. It was actually from 2017-2018 that they polled a whole bunch of people. And a decade ago, they said if you would have asked somebody how they were doing, they would have responded with, I'm fine. I'm fine. How many people know this response? I'm fine. Hey, how are you been? How are you doing? I'm fine. Now, 2019, you ask somebody how they're doing, the number one response is busy. How many people say this? I read this and I was like, this is me. People go like, how are the kids? How's family life? How are you doing? Busy. How's the church? How's ministry? How's your mental health? Busy. Do you get to do anything fun, vacation, anything like that? I'm just busy. And it's a stretch to go ahead and believe that most of us in this room struggle from the same problem. We're busy. How many people think that you're busy all the time? Oh, the rest of you got nothing to do. Okay, well, there's a lot of ministry around here that needs to get done. Anyways, they did another poll, right? The American Dream. How many have heard of the American Dream, right? They said the American Dream used to be work hard, play harder. Now the American Dream is work hard and be productive. We can't take any leisure time. It's not cool to take leisure time anymore. You don't want to know why? Because when we're having downtime, when we're having rest, when we're not being productive. And I'm not saying that's for all of you, but for the majority of America, that's what's happening to us. The rise in anxiety is through the roof. And while we're busy, there is ministry going on all around us. While we're busy, we're missing the ministry that's happening right underneath our noses. And by ministry, what I mean is the people that are hurting, the people that are broken, the people that have lost loved ones, the people that need somebody just to care, the people that need somebody just to have a conversation with. We're missing the ministry that's happening all around us. And I dare say the question that we need to be asking ourselves as we dive deeper into this topic tonight of availability isn't, God, lead me to the ministry. Where can you use me in ministry? It isn't, God, show me where the need is. These aren't the questions that we need to be asking God and praying to God. The questions that we really need to be asking ourselves is, if I ran into ministry, would I be available to meet that need? Do I have the time for ministry if it came knocking on my door? See, in the story of David and Goliath, not only was David tested, but David was available. Can you imagine if the story went, David gets to the front line and hears Goliath, and he's like, man, actually, you know, I got the sheep shearer. He's coming on Tuesday. I know this fight's going to take at least... I'll be late, then I won't be able to rebook them for another week and a half. It'll be a mess. Can you imagine? But David was available. So I want to unpack this idea of availability. But just so we're all on the same page, I always love to throw a definition up. This is the definition of available. Oh, it's from Oxford, which makes it fancier. You didn't know that, right? This is a test. I bet you if it said Bakersfield right there, y'all wouldn't think it was that fancy, huh? Mm-hmm. Quick. It means able to be used at someone's disposal, not otherwise occupied, and free to do something. Leave this up just for a second because I want you to read the definition of this. As we go through this tonight, I want you to be dead honest with yourselves, because it doesn't matter to me. It's you and between you and God. This whole idea of coming to church is for us to grow closer to God and have more powerful experiences with the Holy Spirit and learn how to have a fulfilled life here and now. So it's between you and God. So you be honest with yourself. Are you any of these things? How many have ever wondered to yourself, is God able to use me? How many have ever asked this question? God, are you able to use me? Are you able to use me? It says able to be used. Can I tell you that God created your ability, but what he really loves is your availability. He created your ability, but what he really loves is your availability. Your availability, our availability, or our ability rather, doesn't mean much. Your talents that God has given you, the things that you are good at, don't mean much if you're never available. How many have that friend? Right, oh, that's it, right? We're gonna work on this awkward clap thing. This is, you know what I mean? Like, so we went to, Conan, right? Pastor Ron let us go to Conan, right? And there's screens when they can applaud. We're gonna get those for you. You know what I'm saying? We're all in sync. But have you ever had that friend where you're just, man, I need someone to talk to. I'm gonna call. Let's just say for the sake of a friend, we're gonna call Tom. Tom, hey man, are you busy? I really need you. Ah, man, I can't today. I gotta take the kids to school. And that's fine. And the next time you call Tom, man, I got some stuff I really need help with at my house. Oh, bummer, dude. I already made plans with the wife. Oh, that's cool, Tom. Hey, Tom, hey man, look, listen, I really need a ride. My car broke. Oh man, I'm super busy. Every time you call Tom, Tom's not available. Guess what? Tom is no longer a friend. He's no longer my friend because when I call him, he's never available. But we're gonna talk about a character tonight. He's a little blip on the screen. You could overlook him if you weren't looking for him. That made himself available for God to use, and God did an amazing miracle because he was available, right? So this is in John 6, 1 through 14, and we'll read it. It says, after these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore, Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? This he was saying to test him. Say, test. Man, this is in the word. For he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad. I love this word. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? You see where I'm going with this? And Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. Say, as much as they wanted. It didn't say needed, it said wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments, so that nothing will be lost. So they gathered them up and filled the 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. It's crazy, I pictured. This is where the, you know what I'm saying? I'm stuck doing this. I'm just kidding. So let's add a little context here. Let's interject rather some context, right? There's a crowd of people that have been following Jesus all day long. The disciples and Jesus have been doing ministry. There's families, there's caravans, there's camels, there's horses, there's donkeys. And they come to a place to rest, and Jesus is sitting here on a rock, and this family in hearing distance is walking by to find their spot amongst all the clouds of dust and the other caravans, and the father hears from a distance out of the corner, Jesus and the disciples discussing this idea of not having food. When this family, this father of three, gets to the spot where they're picking out for themselves to sit, the dad begins to discuss amongst his family, his wife and his children, I heard that there's no food. I heard that there's a lot of people hungry, and Jesus is asking the disciples to find food. And the wife says, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And there becomes a discussion between them. The dad offering, saying, we have to give what we have. It may not be enough. What is this 5 loaves and 2 fish gonna do for all these people? So the dad grabs his son and says, son, I stay here with the family. I want you to take this and go present it to the disciples. Let them know this is what we have to offer. And so then we see in the scripture that Andrew comes up and says, hey, you know, there's not any food. You guys don't have any idea where the food's gonna come from. There is this lad here that has 5 loaves and 2 fish. And we see this story unfold and see God do amazing things. So the first step in asking yourself, am I available, is the first step is you have to ask yourself, do you believe that God is able to do with what you have, to take what you have, to take the little that you have, or the medium amount that you have, or the barely anything that you have. The first step in availability is actually believing that what you have, God is able to make more out of it. I believe that a lot of people don't step up because they feel like what they're bringing to the table isn't enough. It's not worth enough. It's not exactly what the moment calls for. We get this twisted. We get this twisted because we think that we have to be equipped. We think it's about what we have, when God just wants us to be available. We think it's about our ability, when God wants our availability. Imagine if the story went a little differently. The wife says, we only have these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. And the dad goes, I know. Not only that, but we're hungry. We won't have anything to eat for ourselves. He has his 3 kids here. That's gotta mean something, right? We read about this lad. I'm interjecting, you know, some detail here, but I'm just assuming that this little lad isn't rolling around with 5 loaves and 2 fish for himself. You know what I'm saying? Unless this kid has a big appetite, right? But imagine if they decided, you know what? The dad agreed and said, oh, this really isn't enough and we need to keep it for ourselves. This story could have gone a lot differently. I love this poem. It says this, God uses what you have to fill a need which you could never fill. God uses where you are to take you where you could have never gone yourself. God uses what you can do to accomplish what you could have never done. And God uses who you are to let you become who you could have never been without him. See, God wants us to be radically available. That's it. You've heard it said before, I believe it was probably a famous pastor, that God doesn't call the qualified, right? He qualifies the called, something like that. But it bears repeating. It's this idea that, again, driving home, that it's not your ability, but God wants you to be radically available. I was thinking of this idea, not the idea rather, but where the word Christian came from. Maybe you know, maybe you're a Bible scholar. You might know more about it than myself, but I started looking this up, right? There's a little verse in the New Testament where it talks about it, that the people of God, the followers of Christ, were first called Christians in a city called Antioch. looking into this city was a city that had diversity. You had Jews with different religious customs over here. They were over here, they had different religious customs than these Jews. And on this side of the city, there were Gentiles and pagan believers, people that believed in this God, and something that separated them all. They had walls that separated all these different sects of people inside this city of Antioch. And what happened was these crazy Jews that decided to follow this person called Christ started causing so much commotion within this city. They said, who is this gang of people that is causing all this commotion? Who are these people that are coming in, tearing down the walls of racism, tearing down religious constructs and all these differences that divide us all and causing this new hope and new love and this ruckus inside of our city? And they said, it's the people that follow this Christ that we've heard of. And so it said that they began to call them Christians. They weren't a group of people confined by a wall. Their love could not be confined or defined. These people had no idea why they were so radical, but these people believed in something bigger than themselves, and they made themselves available for this cause. They sold out for this cause. Pastor Ron talked about it in Acts, where they were selling things and giving away their things to whoever had need. And when people see that kind of radical availability, when people see that kind of radical love and faith of people stepping up, it changes the atmosphere around them. My only problem is I call myself a Christian, but a lot of the times my faith does not resemble those that were first called Christians. How many know you can't give yourself a nickname? You can't. Have you ever been around somebody who's like, hey, what's up? What's up? What's up, Steve? Nah, call me Ice. No, that's not gonna happen. They made themselves available because they saw God was able. And what's crazy is, as the years and centuries progressed, slowly but surely, Christians started only making themselves available on Sundays and at Bible studies and at women's retreats and men's retreats. If you only see God move, if you only feel God move, if you only feel the Holy Spirit come alive on Sundays and at Bible studies and at women's retreats and men's retreats, and you wonder why he's not alive, and you don't feel that in your workplace, or you don't feel that when you go to the grocery store, or you don't feel that when you're at school, or you don't feel that when you're with your family and your kids, then I would say, check yourself. Are you available in those places? These people, these radical Christians, they were available on the way to work. They were available at work. They were available, get this, on their way home from work. Nobody wants to be available on their way home from work. Nobody does. How many times you're driving or you're walking or you're going, so you gotta stop somewhere. Maybe the wife wants something from the grocery store, right? And you walk in and all of a sudden you see somebody you haven't seen in a long time and you just dip. You dip, dude. And in your mind you go, I don't have time or energy for this. It's because they live this way that they saw God move. So what we really have to ask ourselves is, how much do we want to see God move? Do we want to just see him move on Sundays? Do we want to just see him move at the men's retreat or the women's retreat or our Thursday Bible study? Or do we want to see him move all the time? The second step to availability is this, and this is something I struggle with because I am very structured. I am a structured human being. Being flexible. Oh, Lord. Mark 6, right? It depicts this story a little differently. There's a few more details in this feeding of the 5,000 in Mark 6. Let's read a few verses so you get the idea here. In Mark 6, it says, "The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while.' For there were so many people coming and going that they didn't even have time to eat." How many people are just getting tired reading this? "They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." I'm just trying to get some rest. I'm tired. I'm tired, man. I'm busy. I'm so busy. I've said it before. I'll say it again. There's so many people that come up and they're like, "Will you pray for me?" And I'm like, "Pray for me. Let's just be real. You don't want me to lay hands on you." Woo. We see Jesus and the disciples, they're tired. They're tired, but they get to this place where they're supposed to be resting. They were probably looking forward to the rest. They were probably looking forward to the time off. And I'm not preaching you should never rest. I understand what it's like to hide in your bathroom away from your kids for some peace and quiet. Don't judge me. Y'all got problems. But when he gets to the shore, Jesus shows us that we have to be flexible. Ministry showed up at his door and it said that Jesus had compassion. Can I confess something to you without you judging me? I'm gonna do it anyway. Gennaro, he's one of our high school pastors. He's the pastor at CSUB. This dude has a heart of gold. Seriously inspires me. He's got an amazing speaking gift, but more than that, he has a gift of compassion. We went to Chipotle. This guy's always buying me. He's sneaky good. He'll get in front of me and buy my lunch for me, or we'll be sitting there in the offices and he'll just be on his phone. I'm like, okay, this guy's text. He's like, this guy's in a real text, you know, thread right now. And then all of a sudden the Uber Eats guy shows up at the door and he bought me some acai bowls. You know what I mean? That's what's up. This guy's just a picture perfect example of compassion. But anyways, we're at Chipotle. I'm there, I'm hungry. Dare I say hangry? I don't know how you could be hangry, but I mean, That's another discussion. But we're in line, and you know you've been here before. You're going to relate as soon as I say it. There is a lady at the register that has been there for 10 minutes. I'm now standing in line 10 minutes. I haven't gotten to the poor little lady who's making burritos and salad bowls yet. And I'm watching this lady, and I'm just like irritated because she's buying apparently the whole conference burritos. And so after 25 minutes of waiting in line, I finally get up to the register. She is still there. They had to bring assistance to help this lady. They brought multiple people from Chipotle to help this lady line out the door behind us. And we're walking towards the door at the same time. And I'm just going like, this lady's even in my way on the way out of this place. And Gennaro goes, "Oh my gosh, oh my goodness. Can I help you with that to your car?" And I went, "Oh, dude." I told him, I honestly, he was walking over to his car and I kind of walked towards his car. I was going to walk with him and be that guy that's like, "Yeah, I'm the helper, but I'm not doing anything. I'm just kind of walking behind my friend that helps," right? It's kind of like when there's a gnarly prayer session going on. You showed up late to the party, but you want to be a part of the anointing anyway, and you just kind of jump in, but you're touching like four people back. You know what I mean? And I just told him afterwards, I said, "You're so much of a better person than I am. You have compassion, you're flexible. People irritate me, it's out the window. You're not getting anything from me if you irritate me." Can you imagine if the story went differently? And Jesus said to the disciples, "Feed these people. I have compassion on them." And the disciples go, "It would take all this money to feed these people." And Jesus goes, "Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. Let's gypsy fade this way.
Peter, you go tell them that we're gonna meet that way and we'll dip out the, can you imagine if Jesus wasn't flexible? It is so hard, and I'm not saying this from a place to where I have it, so please hear my heart. I'm screwed up, I really am. But the reason why I share my stories of failure with you is when you see me fail out there that you won't be surprised. I'm being serious. I'm being serious. And also to offer a little hope for you, just like David and Peter encouraged me because they're so screwed up, maybe you can see me and go like, maybe God can use me. So when I say this, our mindset has to change. Our mindset has to change that the unloved, that the broken and abused, that the unwanted, they don't live in spaces of convenience or inconvenience. Those people are hurting. They live in a space called here and now. And how many opportunities do we miss to minister to those people because we can't be flexible? I get it, right? Some of us, it's like we're so late to work or we have appointment after appointment that even if ministry, we would say life is pushing us forward. I really can't afford to help you. Or we throw 2 cents when what they need is somebody to have a conversation with them. These broken and hurting and abused, the ministry around us, they're people that live in the here and now. Maybe it's the barista on your way to work that whenever you see them, they look a little sad. And God's been telling you to talk to them, but you've never had time. Maybe it's your coworker who's always wanting to have lunch with you and you're always too busy or have other plans. Or maybe it's that family member that just gets under your skin. And they always have needs, and they're always needy. They always got stuff going on, but they always want this and that, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Or maybe it's that homeless person or that friend or that family member that needs some money, but you barely have enough for yourself. Can I tell you, this last week, it was crazy. So I am a very regimented person. I carry the budget in our household. And I like to say that I keep it to a T, but the other day, I get my phone bill automatically withdrawn. I changed it over. I wanted to save a couple bucks. Well, little did I know, AT&T, I get this notification, the bill went up 80 bucks. So I got to do the most delightful thing anybody enjoys ever. I got to call AT&T and wait online for 30 minutes before I got a hold of anybody. And old Shane would freak out. I'd be stressed the whole time, like I'm gonna verbally sock this person through the phone right now. Like, how dare you steal 80 bucks from me, right? So I'm on the phone. While I'm on the phone, I'm trying to be patient. I'm trying to be calm and collective. And I talked to this guy's so helpful. I got his name. I wanted his extension. I wanted his address. So anytime I call AT&T, I get this guy, right? But while I'm on the phone, this 80 bucks that got extra charged to me, I get this OfferUp notification. That's right, I'm human. I sell stuff on OfferUp. And it said, I want to buy this thing that I had on there for $80. I said, that's what's up. I said, the world might try to steal 80 bucks from me, but God has my back. And so I sold that thing for 80 bucks that same night, and I got my 80 bucks back. And then not only that, they gave me an $80 rebate on top of that for my next bill, so God paid me back 100-fold. A couple days later, my wife calls me and tells me there's a pet peeve. Oh, the tire light came on. Oh, the tire light came on. There's always a light in the car that comes on. She took it in. If you ever have any car issues or problems, I know that you may not trust a lot of car people, but McWilliams and Walden, they're very trustworthy. They go to our church. That's your shout out, Gary. Anyways, they go there and we got to take care of tires. It's $300. The day after, I get a check that I didn't know that was coming for $300. And I'm going like, God, you don't want me to worry about money. I wish I could get this down, but it's never gonna happen. But what happens is when people, we get in this place where somebody wants to borrow a buck, or maybe God's telling us to tithe, and we go like, oh, if I tithe, I'm not gonna have any money. God's telling you, be available and able and flexible to do that, and he'll take care of you. So we gotta end. So, are we gonna be like the disciples
when ministry comes our way? Are we going to send them away? Send them away, Jesus. Or are we going to be like Jesus and have compassion and say, Lord, I'm going to be available in this moment. I'm going to believe that whatever I have in this moment, that you're able to do more than I could possibly ever do with by myself. I'm going to be flexible because even though I have this appointment, even though I need to be here, I'm going to be a flexible person and allow you to use me, because it is my belief that availability creates opportunities for God to be big. Availability creates the ability to slay a giant and to feed 5,000 people. Availability is saying, I care about my stuff. I care about my time. I care about my feelings. I care about my family. But God, I care about your stuff more. It's saying this, the prophet Isaiah in chapter 6, he says this. God says he's looking for somebody to send. And Isaiah goes, here I am. Here I am. Send me. Send me. There's so many opportunities that you're going to run into at inconvenient times. And God's saying, who am I going to use? We have to become the people, if we want to see God move powerfully in our lives, that say, hey, 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 use me. Use me. I'm available. Amen? Let's pray. God, James has some sobering words. They hit home. It says, do not be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. And that is for me as well. God, your big design, God, your heart, your goal was not just for us to experience you in a building on Sundays or Wednesdays. It was for us to experience you on our ways to work, God, at work, on our way home from work, at home with our families, when we're out with friends, when we're on vacation, that we would be available everywhere, God. You want to experience communion with us everywhere we go. God, I'm so humbled to be able to be used by you. Forgive me for my hypocrisy. Forgive me if I've said anything that's not of you, God, but I just really care about these people. I want them to catch fire. That fire I know that I feel, God, that's got something more. You have something more for these people. I pray if there's people in this room that don't know you, I pray that you would begin to stir in their hearts this desire that only you can give them to want more of you and then just to come at you radically. We love you, God. We praise you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. If you need prayer, there is a huge prayer team up here for you. Other than that, thank you guys again. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.